You are listening to the Thursday morning show on KEXE, KBXE. Okay. We are very excited to welcome back the Attorney General of Minnesota. He's the Chief Legal Officer of the State of Minnesota, providing legal representation to over 100 state agencies, boards, and commissions, and he represents the State of Minnesota in state and federal court. The office enforces state consumer protection and antitrust laws. He is Minnesota's 30th Attorney General. Keith Ellison's job is to help Minnesotans afford their lives and live with dignity, safety, and respect. Before he was Attorney General, he represented Minnesota in the 5th Congressional District in Washington. He also served in Minnesota's House of Representatives. And Keith Ellison is joining us now. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, glad to be here. How are you?
We're good. Hey, we're so sorry. We send our condolences to you, the loss of your mom.
Thank you so much. She was a wonderful lady, and I appreciate you all mentioning her. She's great.
Yeah. How I saw your son's New York Times op-ed about what's going on as well, and I just wonder, how's your family holding up during this time?
Well, you know, like everybody else, we're doing the best we can. You know, we are. I will say that for the Minnesotans who have had to bury loved ones, you know, I just like to, I'm so glad my son really kind of illustrated the challenges associated with that. You know, if you can even have a funeral, maybe 5% of the people who would come can come. They will all be in face masks and sitting 6 feet apart. You can't hug anyone. And, you know, it's just the strangest thing. So, you know, the Ellisons aren't the only ones going through it. A lot of people are, and my heart goes out to them because this is an odd time to bury your loved one.
Yeah, which is all the more reason why it seems just terrible that people are out there kind of profiting from what's going on. I know that's a big concern for you. Yeah. Tell us kind of what's happening out there and what you have in place now to help people out.
Well, first thing is that we've had over 1,200 separate independent consumer complaints. So if you're a price gouger, if you're trying to profiteer off this pandemic, if you are trying to sell fake or deceptive products, if you're doing any of that kind of thing, you know, people are watching you and they're reporting on you. And I'm encouraging folks to give us a call, 651-296-3353, and tell us what you're seeing, because we're going after folks who do this pandemic profiteering. And I'm not talking about a legitimate business who's seen their input costs go up. I'm talking about these profiteers who are just trying to seize the moment and make a killing off of everybody else's benefit. And so we have taken several actions to sue companies and take them to court for pandemic profiteering. We are investigating small companies and big ones. We're investigating Menards right now. And we're going to continue to do this kind of thing. We've seen certain companies who say, oh, we had to lay off people because of the pandemic. But some of these same companies refused to pay workers the last check before the pandemic was declared. That's not right. That's wage theft. We're not going to allow people to do that. And then, of course, there's the folks who make up stuff and say, oh, we have a cure here for you, this IV drip, this air sanitizer. We don't have a vaccine. The best vaccine is wash your hands and do physical distancing. That's what we have right now. So be wary of anyone telling you that they got some miracle cure or miracle test.
Keith, this is John Bauer. Can you give us an example of maybe what some price gouging may be?
Well, you know, under the governor's order, if you increase prices on your goods more than 20% within the last four-week period, and there's no justification for it based on your cost, we call that price gouging. If you've never sold a particular product like hand sanitizer or respirator masks, and now all of a sudden you somehow got some and you're charging more than 20% more than the area prevailing price, that's probably price gouging too. Look, we're going to get through this. We will. We absolutely will get through this. And when we do, the economic pain is going to be bad enough. We don't need more people trying to exploit the moment. I'm also asking people not to hoard. By now, you know that you can go into the grocery store, and for the most part, there are basic products there now. Right after the thing was declared, you could walk into the Target or wherever, and somebody had wiped out all the toilet paper, and now they're trying to sell it on eBay or something. Oh, eBay and other companies are not letting them do that. If they are, let us know. So you got people trying to sell it out of the back of their car. If that happens, don't yell at these people. Pull out your phone and say, hey, I'd like to be in touch with you in the future. What's your name? What's your number? Mm-hmm. Take a picture of the goods. Take a picture of the license plate on their car. Be nice to them. Get the evidence. Give it to us. We'll enforce.
It's Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison. If you have a question for him, you can call in now at 800-662-5799. So we did get a question from one of our listeners about her elderly mother had ordered something her friends had suggested to her that would stop the coronavirus, something to do with silver. How should she deal with her mom on that, and then again remind us that the cure does not exist, especially on television ads that you might see.
No. Well, so what we really need is for that adult daughter to tell her mom, there's no vaccine. All there is hand washing and social distancing and quarantining. If we're talking about an elderly person, absolutely, you know, try to do anything you can to keep mom from going out, you know. If somehow you absolutely, positively have to go out, wipe down the car, wipe down the surfaces, put on a mask, put on the gloves, but really do not let mom get out. Just keep her in home for a little while. Play board games, you know, watch television, whatever you can do, but keep her inside. Now, the other thing is that if we get that information, take a picture of the screen. Get all the information you can about this product. Call us, call the Federal Trade Commission, call the Minnesota Attorney General's office. If you live in North or South Dakota or Wisconsin, call them, but definitely call us, 651-296-3353, and give us the information. We will go after these people. We formed a statewide federal, state, local task force. U.S. Attorney Erica McDonald, phenomenal leader. We're working together. Her office is particularly adept at investigating online schemes. So let us know. You know, we're ready to go deal with these people for deceptive trade practices. And any kind of silver cure is not. I mean, I can't say it on the radio. Put it like this. It comes out of the other side of a cow, not the front side of it. You know, so that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, if it smells fishy, it is fishy. It's
That's right.
Yeah. So,
and there's no way that some TV huckster has found a vaccine before the doctors and the researchers at Mayo and University of Minnesota and other companies that are laboring on this 24/7.
You mentioned that you are kind of investigating Menards. What should we do as citizens? Should we boycott Menards? What process should we take?
No, I'm not calling for that. I'm not calling for that because we're investigating them. There are some things that we are concerned about. I would just say when you go in there, if you go in there, you see something that seems like a price gouge, take a picture of it, send it to us. But we're not calling for any boycotts. We'll take the legal action that's necessary to take. But I don't want to be associated with calling for a boycott on anybody. In fact, the companies that we have taken action against, We have said their name in public, but we also have engaged in settlement agreements with them, where if they don't do it again, you know, we're going to let it ride. But we've required them to enter into settlement agreements where if they do it again, they will have to pay civil fines and penalties. So that's what we're doing. We don't want to put anybody out of business. We want to keep everybody in business. What we don't want to do is have individual consumers have a chunk taken out of their budget where it shouldn't happen.
So how do you control your emotions during this time with all these people, these shysters?
You know what, man? I'm a person who prays, man. I am. I pray. I asked, for mercy and patience. That's what I do. And I'm not trying to push religion on anybody. I believe to each his own in that department, but you ask me what I do, that's what I do.
You know, it seems to me that you're telling us don't take the law into your own hands. I think from day to day, I'm sure you're feeling the same thing. It's like you're never sure how you're feeling about what's going on, since none of us have been through this before. And anger is part of the emotions that people are feeling right now. So if they do see things going on, there are people, your office can take care of stuff like this. Is that right?
You're right, and thank you for saying that. Let me just say this. Look, you put your finger on it. This is new for everyone, not just in the state of Minnesota, but in the whole country, in the whole world. And we can get through this, but we got to get through it together. I say, you know, we need to deal with the psychosocial aspects of quarantine. And I just want to say a word of praise to you guys. Your show is the lifeline for a lot of people who are trying to figure out how to manage this very new, very wild, weird situation. And so thank you for broadcasting. Broadcasting and journalism is essential because people need information. But think about, you know, doing those chats on like WebEx or, you know, whatever you use. Get on the phone. Call your pastor. Go or not. Again, I don't want to be seen to be pushing religion, you know, just because I'm into it. But just try to consider the emotional, psychological, spiritual aspects of this situation. And when you're faced with a hardship, people get bitter or they get better. I've seen this crisis bring out the best in people and the worst. I don't want anybody to get the impression that just because we're doing a lot of enforcement of price gouging, deceptive trade practices, illegal evictions, just because we're seeing that, that's not most people. Most people are doing the right thing. Most people are sharing for their neighbors. They're caring. They're looking out. They're getting food for people. They're doing the right thing. Those ones that aren't, we're not going to let them get away with it.
We did get a question that says, what about hate crimes during the pandemic? How do we report that, et cetera?
Well, if it's a hate crime, like an assault, definitely call the police immediately. You can also call the FBI. You can call my office. We will deal with these issues. You call the AG, the U.S. attorney, and the local police department. If it's something like just a hate message, it's not illegal to say, I don't like fill in the blank. But it's still really bad. I'd say, you know, make sure that you send messages, particularly nowadays, to people of Asian descent who might be feeling a little bit more vulnerable. Let me just say for the record, the coronavirus was not started by the Chinese. It's not a Chinese virus. It is a virus. It has a specific name, novel coronavirus. The disease is COVID-19. There's a lot of legitimate names for it. But, you know, it's not any ethnic group or country, right? So just tell people that that's ignorance. That's not true, you know, and try to – our best weapon is public education. And, you know, if you hear somebody saying something like, well, if it wasn't for those people over there and people like that, we wouldn't be – say, no, that's not true. That is not true. And we need people to be a little bit brave now. You know, nobody likes to be lectured, especially somebody spouting bigotry. But you still got to have enough courage to say, you know, that's not true. I wish you wouldn't say it. It's not right. We need people to individually have the power and strength to say we're going to turn to each other, not on each other, in this difficult moment.
We did just have a caller who wanted a reminder of the number to call if they do know of a scam or if they feel like they've been targeted.
Okay, pull out your pens, your laptops, your phones, whatever you got. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready. 6, 5, 1, 2, 9, 6. 3353.
All right.
Or go online, ag.state.mn.us, ag.state.mn.us. And so we want people to contact us. If there's a crime, though, let me just say one more time. If you see somebody being assaulted, threatened, call the police. That's the best thing to do. They know what to do. They can respond quickly. And so that's what you do in that case. Other situations where there's nasty messages, intimidating atmosphere, then you can call folks like the AG or the U.S. Attorney or even the Minnesota Department of Human Rights.
We're speaking with Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 800-662-5799. A couple of years ago, you were in our studios and you were digging the music we were playing. I'm wondering what kind of music you play when you get home to maybe relax or in the car on the way home.
Well, you know, the kind of music that me and my wife have had to really kind of dig into is music you can work by, right? Because you know, as you know, I'm spending more time at home. I got my laptop here. I'm working remotely a lot. Not 100% of the time. Sometimes I have to go in. But you know, I'm listening to like on YouTube. They got like 10 hours worth of cello music. I know it sounds corny, but it's easy background music. I noticed that if I'm playing words music where people are singing, my voice, my ear goes to the voice, and I want to hear and listen to the music. So for work-at-home music, you need something that's in the background, not too distracting, but soothing. So I've been listening to 10 hours of cello and piano music. Wish I had something more exciting for you.
Well, thanks for admitting that. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to see, like, people are trying to figure. So, like, now you got all these new colleagues, at work colleagues and coworkers, right? Like your cat, like your puppy, like, yeah. Like your six-month-old. You know what I mean? You got your 8-year-olds like, Mom, I got to do work, home distancing, learning. How do I do this? You know, how do I spell this? And you're trying to, you know, write a brief or something. And, you know, it's just a new way of getting adjusted to this new moment we're in. And it's been interesting. We've had a few all-staff meetings, all virtual. You know, we have about 340-some employees. We had 333 people on the call. And we're just trying to keep people connected by doing that. It's the magic of technology. 100 years ago, they couldn't dream of doing anything like this. But we got to take what's available to us.
We had a question from a listener having to do with people who are renting where they live. And, you know,
right.
People are having to make some really, really tough choices when it comes to money and how they're keeping their families afloat. What are you seeing out there in terms of evictions or how people in apartments are doing?
Well, the governor issued an executive order that we wouldn't be doing any evictions during the pandemic. Two important reasons that I want to point out. One is it's just cruel to put somebody in that situation in this moment. But the other reason is because if you say we're going to shelter in place, you got to have a place to shelter in, right? If you now have to go from your home into a shelter, which is a crowded place, the transmission of the virus will be more likely to happen. So we're just saying wherever you are, stay there. And so that's why that executive order was critical. Now, you have some landlords. And again, most landlords are being super great, awesome. And I want to talk about them in a moment. But there have been a few who've said, well, if I can't actually legally kick you out, I'm going to turn off your utilities. We have sued these people. We've taken these people to court, and we're going to continue to do so. We got temporary restraining orders on a few, and we're going to keep our level of activity going because we cannot have people thrown in the street in the middle of this pandemic. And you can't, and by the way, you can't turn off somebody's utilities as a means of evicting them anyway, whether there's a pandemic or not. And so the landlords who have done this, we're going to get after them. But here's my call to the good landlords, and most of them are. They really are. A lot of folks just have one little duplex that they rent out. You know, a lot of folks are not big tycoons. You know, they're just trying to get a little extra rental income. You know, I say band together in your associations and say, look, guys, as landlords, there's certain things we're just not going to tolerate as an industry standard. Nobody in our group, we're discouraging anyone in our group to just throw people out during this time. And then I'd say, write a letter if you're a landlord and you're worried about this situation. Say, look, I need the rents to pay my mortgage. If I don't get them, then I'm going to be in foreclosure. If you're in that situation, you know, contact the AG's office. We'd love to put you in touch with Small Business Administration, and tell us what you're going through so we can try to make sure that you have a solution. We don't want you to go into foreclosure. We want to talk to the banks about forbearance on their part. We know that this whole housing situation is a chain. Starts with the renter, but it ends with some big bank. And in the middle, you got small lenders and stuff like that. So we know that this is a systemic problem, but the solution cannot be throwing some mom and her two kids out because she got laid off from her job. That can't be the answer to how we solve this.
So, again, we should, if you're having problems, if you're renting, the number is 651-296-3353 for the Attorney
That's
General's
right.
office. We had someone, I don't know if you have dealt with this at all, but we had someone who asked about Facebook. And there had been a thing going on Facebook to support the graduates, the students who are high school seniors who aren't going to get to go through all the rituals, and asking people to post their graduation photo. And then now she is hearing that that is a scam. They're getting information from you posting that because you're saying where you are, you went to school. That's often a password that you have on an account you deal with. Have you heard any of that kind of stuff going on?
You know, I've heard about it, but I can't speak knowledgeably about it. What I will do is check in with my staff this morning about that. But let me just say that it's just about any online service that you regard to be free, and I put free in air quotes. Anytime you're going online and they're offering you a free test or free this or free this or free that online, it's that somebody's paying for it. And what are they getting? If they're giving it to you free, what are they getting in exchange? Because you know they're getting something. They're getting your information, and they're selling it. And so notice how whenever you put your information into some free thing to, you know, get a free this or a free that, you start getting all these ads that you're not looking for. Well, that's because your information has been traded to some other body who's trying to sell you stuff. So never, ever, you got to understand the economics of the online free service, you know. It's not free. They're getting your stuff and getting your information with very little in exchange for you. So I would say enter these things very advisedly, but what I will do is I will take that observation and ask my staff to dig into it. We're right now looking into, and I'll just say publicly, we're looking into like the privacy measures that Zoom has had to take because we now have heard of this phenomenon known as Zoom bombing. So, you know, a lot of online tools, you know, now this pandemic has revealed the weaknesses of them, and we all need to respond. I'd say make sure whenever you use something online, you understand that if it's free, what they're getting is you and your information. It's not really free.
So, Keith, I'm sure just during this time, it takes a long time to get your unemployment check. You wait in lines. I'm thinking that some people might be a little bit nervous or feel like they're not going to get an answer if they do call your number. What are the logistics? What happens when somebody does call? How does that chain of command work?
No, that's great. So let me just tell you, we really have redeployed extra folks to our phone room and our online services. When folks call, we have somebody who's ready to take that call, and those folks answer the questions as best as they can, and then they try to mediate the dispute with the business. A lot of times it's just a misunderstanding, or we can work it out. If we have somebody who is kind of doing a lot of people wrong, then we might fashion that into a case. If we feel that there's been a law violation, we will sue that company. But I give us a chance. Before you assume that we're not responding, give us a call. I haven't had very many people say that we're being unresponsive. If you think we are, let me know that too. But so far, we've been able to field the calls.
What does the fine do? Where does the fine money go?
Well, if we have to assess, see, a lot of what we're doing with the gougers is that we're not necessarily hitting them with a fine off the top. We're saying, we caught you price gouging. Here's the law. Do you agree that this is a violation of the order of the governor? And if we can get into a negotiation, because if you don't agree, we'll prove it in court. If they say, yeah, we won't do it again, we'll say, fine, you have to agree that if you do it again, then you're going to have to pay a fine. Where does the fine go? To the general fund. The attorney general does not get the fine money. And I want to let people know that because some folks might think, oh, you're just trying to pad your office's budget. Not true. We don't even get the money. It goes to the general fund of the state of Minnesota.
We did get another email question here, and I'm not sure that you can answer this, but let's at least let Sherry get her question out. She asks, why can't we expect respectful dialogue and truth out of our politicians, and why can't we expect that same truth in advertising from our politicians? Now, again, I don't think that's your question to answer, but you may have some thoughts on that.
You know, what I'll say is that neither, advertisers, politicians, there's sin in the world, and I don't mean that in a religious term. I just mean that just like people do stuff they shouldn't do, right? There's dishonesty, there's bad treatment, and most people are good people. Most people, overwhelmingly, you're stuck in a Minnesota snow. People you don't even know are going to help push you out, There's good people in the world, but there are folks who, because they're desperate or because they're addicted or because they're just plain out greedy, do things that are bad, and that's why we got to have, folks to regulate them sometimes. The regulations and the laws are not for the people who want to do the right thing. It's for the folks who won't do it unless they're forced to. I say it's hopeful and optimistic and idealistic to think that nobody should do wrong. But we do know that they do, and we've got to be. Society deserves to be protected when that happens, whether it's a politician or an advertiser or anyone.
Is it illegal to go into a grocery store back in, a month ago and buy 700 rolls of toilet paper and sell them on eBay? Is that illegal?
I know of no law that says that it's illegal. I think it's kind of immoral, and yeah. I think it's kind of really, really wrong. But I can't say that that is a criminal act or a civil violation. But I really do hate to see it. I think it's terrible. I mean, look, the next person needs toilet paper too. You're like, so what? I don't care. I'm going to make money off this. I think the company bears some moral responsibility. Why are you going to sell somebody, one person, everything? One to a customer, right? Or two or three. But then, of course, the store might not know that what this person's going to do. So, I mean, at the same time, I just think that hoarding driven by fear and desperation is one thing. Hoarding driven by profiteering is another. The profiteers make it so much harder for us. Now we have a executive order which says that if you do buy out all the toilet paper and then you try to sell it at exorbitant prices, you will be held accountable. But the mere act of hoarding is, I think it's morally reprehensible, but I can't identify a particular statute which says it's illegal.
Are grocery stores running into any problems with gouging from, their customers? Like, not their customers, but their providers?
Well, you know what? There have, I tell you this, as we've done our investigations, there have been some folks who've had their prices go up, but when we've asked them, why are your prices for like rice and meat and other products going up, they say our wholesale prices are going up. We're willing to listen to that as a defense, right? We're not looking to nail people. We're looking to keep the economy as stable as we can. Just to tell you, we have received reports that we're looking into about wholesale price gouging of retailers, and so we do recognize that as a problem.
Like I said earlier, it's like you never know how you feel one day to the next on what's going on, since none of us have gone through this before. And sometimes you're hearing people talking about the future of when we finally get through this and how we're going to be different then. Have you had time to think about that or what we're learning about how we are handling this pandemic?
Well, let me tell you this. We are beginning to plan when the pandemic ends. Now, it's not over until it is over, and it's not over yet. So please continue to observe the physical distancing, washing hands, quarantining, working in place if you can. But we do know that it will begin to end. We've seen other countries where, you know, things have, the curve has begun to bend down, as is often said. It will not be we go from, you know, under a shelter in place order to do whatever you want. We'll probably phase in certain workers who can go back to work under certain conditions. We'll probably phase in certain activities that can be done. We'll probably continue to monitor, ask people to continue to wear masks, particularly if you're particularly vulnerable, to wear a certain kind of mask when you go out. We'll ask people who are not vulnerable to just wear some of those, you know, DIY kind of cloth masks that'll stop your mouth spray, you know, your droplet, you know, spray from going anywhere. You know, that those are good to help you to keep other people safe. So we will phase it in as we see the epidemiology indicate that that's what we should do. But I just want to say, whether it's the governor, myself, anybody, we all hate the situation we're in. We don't want it to go on any longer than it has to. It definitely is causing an economic toll, but we don't want to get out there too fast, because if we do, we can see a spike, and then we're going to have to quarantine all over again. And who wants to go back through this? Not me. I'd rather get it done now and then try to have a slightly more normal summer, fall, winter. And but, you know, if you look back and study the pandemic of 1917 and 18, you know, this thing went on for a while. The cities and the locations that took the strictest measures early were able to bounce back economically the fastest. The ones that just kind of played with it and didn't take it seriously, it drug on for a long time, and they had to re-quarantine several times. So let's just get this thing done, get it behind us, and then next time be better prepared.
So, Keith, we really appreciate you coming on and talking to us. It makes us feel better. And I just wanted to thank you and congratulate you. I'm very proud to be from Minnesota. I think that we're real progressive, and I think we're on top of things, and it feels, if it's true to say it, it feels good.
Well, thank you, guys. You guys are doing your part. I'm telling you, radio broadcasters, when this thing is all over, are going to deserve a medal as a group. You guys are the lifeline, man. People are hanging on your words to just find out what's going on, what they should do. So bless you guys and stay safe, okay?
Right. Yeah, you too. Thanks so much. We'll give the numbers again and hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison, the number to call if you want to report something. Again, one of the big things I learned from this is don't feel like, he was giving an example of if someone is selling toilet paper out of the back of their car. You know, don't feel like you're going to have to apprehend them. Take a photo, you know, maybe act like you want to buy it later. So get a name and number and report it, because that's what his office is for. It's 651-296-3353, because I think all of our emotions are pretty ramped up.
Yep.
And I know if I see someone without a mask in a public place, I'm starting to feel some anxiety and almost anger sometimes, because I'm trying really hard. Yesterday, I made a delivery to my mother-in-law who's at home alone, and it was a terrible feeling that I mean, I had a mask and gloves, but I'd been in a store, and so I didn't want to pass anything on to her. I couldn't hug her for the first time when I visited her, and it's heartbreaking stuff to have to make some of those choices, but I want to make sure she's safe, and I'm not passing anything on. So there are places to help you, and you can also find more information at ag.state.mn.us. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show.